So, but we are going to be talking today about the gifts of the Spirit, not only just defining them and bringing them out in simplicity, but enabling you as a believer, just people that are born again, people that are kings and priests, people that are the children of God, people that are born again and sealed by the Spirit of God, that we can not just know about them, but begin to operate in them. And one thing I'll say is this, just as you hear it, it gets on you. You know, sometimes we forget that as we are around people, that what's on them gets on us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit today. But before we do, we got a couple of miracles that we want to show you and realize that every miracle that happens, Jesus does it. So you can do it because he's with you. Now let's go into the miracle.
He still have he has the birth defect that
okay.
One leg is shorter than the other one. Qual que é mais curta?
Can I use your chair?
This one is shorter.
Okay. The other night we had one guy that had a leg longer.
Na última noite a gente teve uma pessoa durante uma cruzada nossa que tinha uma perna mais longa.
Calcium had grown and pushed it out.
E o cálcio cresceu nele, causou com que a sua perna crescesse.
We had to pray that God would shrink
e a gente teve que orar para Deus encurtar a perna.
And God shrunk his
e Deus encurtou a perna dele durante a oração.
But we're not going to pray that for you.
Mas a gente não vai orar isso para você não.
We're going to pray that God would do
a gente vai orar para que Deus faça a cura necessária para a tua vida.
No. You.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you think this might be too hard?
Quantos de vocês acham que isso é muito difícil? Quantos de vocês acham que isso aqui é muito difícil?
Say no.
Diga não.
Nothing is too hard.
Nada é impossível.
Now look how short.
Olhe agora como tá curto.
Do you see that?
Será que você consegue ver isso? Como está curto?
Now that is going to take a miracle.
Não, vai precisar de um milagre para essa perna consertar.
I can't do that.
Eu não sou capaz de fazer isso não.
This is going to have to be God.
Deus vai fazer isso aí.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, all we can do is pray.
Ei, a única coisa que a gente pode fazer é orar.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Pai, no nome de Jesus.
Oh God, I loose
Deus, agora
the creative bone miracle
agora
right
o poder curador,
God, into this hip,
agora,
into this leg, in the name of
perna,
Jesus.
Agora, no nome
right now,
de Jesus,
oh God,
agora,
for your
Senhor,
glory.
Pra tua
in the name
glória, Senhor, no
of
nome
Jesus.
De Jesus.
God,
Pai,
in the
agora,
name of Jesus,
nome
recreate
de Jesus,
this leg area,
essa
this hip
perna,
area.
Agora, libere
in the name,
ela, cria agora, Senhor,
in the name of
no nome,
Jesus.
No nome, no nome de Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
no nome de Jesus.
All
faça,
the way.
Senhor, faça,
come on,
Senhor.
All the way. Scoot
faça,
yourself
Senhor.
Back in there. I don't want to push
senta
down.
Direito
I'm
agora.
Now in the name of
no
Jesus,
nome de Jesus.
All the way. Father, loose
Pai,
a miracle into
agora
this
um milagre.
Area.
Libera um
in
milagre
Jesus
sobre
name.
Ele no nome de Jesus.
Oh God, for
oh
your glory.
Deus, para tua
in
glória.
The name
no nome
of Jesus.
De Jesus.
In the name
no nome
of Jesus.
De Jesus.
Devil, we
Diabo,
loose you right now. We command
te amarramos
you.
Agora,
let him go
te comandamos
right now.
Que saia agora.
All the way.
Toda,
in the name of Jesus.
Agora, no nome
in the
de Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
No nome de Jesus agora.
In the name of Jesus.
No nome
bring
de Jesus
bone,
agora.
All
esse osso.
Out. All the way out.
Todo o caminho
in the name
agora. No nome de Jesus. No nome de
in the name,
Jesus.
Come on. All the way.
No nome de Jesus.
All the way.
Todo
in the
caminho.
Name of Jesus.
Todo o caminho.
In the name of
no nome
Jesus.
De Jesus.
All the way.
Todo o caminho.
All the way.
Agora.
All the way.
Todo o caminho.
All the way.
Todo o caminho.
In the name of Jesus.
Todo o caminho.
Come
no nome
on.
De Jesus.
Devil, let
Diabo,
it go.
Solta.
Right now.
Agora.
In the name of Jesus.
No nome de Jesus. Solte agora.
Liberte-o
agora no nome de Jesus.
Está
quase lá, está quase lá. No nome, no nome, no nome. Agora no nome de Jesus. No nome de Jesus. No nome, no nome de Jesus. No nome de Jesus. No nome, no nome, no nome de Jesus. No nome de Jesus. E carababa horabaxê! Aleluia! Yeah! Fica de pé. O cara babarola babacheira na babacê. Glory. Jesus. Hallelujah.
What did you feel?
E o que é que você sentiu?
Senti a cura de Deus na minha vida.
I felt the healing of God in my life.
Amazing.
Maravilhoso.
Did you feel that?
Você sentiu isso? Yeah, I did.
Come on, shout hallelujah.
Eu quero de hallelujah.
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 Listen.
Ouça.
This is prophetic to you.
Isso é para você.
You're going to begin to walk as God has touched you.
Você vai ser capaz de andar e você vai ser capaz de
like
andar.
A people have never walked.
Como povo que jamais
you're
andou.
Going to begin to step over.
Você vai ser capaz de pular
that you've never
em coisas
stepped
que
into.
Você jamais pulou
oh,
antes.
God
eu
is touching you.
Eu pulo pra...
Amém.
Right now?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Well, we're going to get rid of it.
Hallelujah.
Jetzt werden wir diese Schmerzen
hier. I command it right now.
Come. Yes.
Come. Go. In the name of Jesus. Loose them. Right now in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you for it. I loose the
miracle.
In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Check yourself, Felix. Tell me what you got.
Prüf es, Felix. Sag, wie es geht.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, there you go. Miracles still happen, and they're waiting to happen through you, through your life, in your life, and in your family's life, all your friends. You know, there's a reason God's positioned you wherever you are, at your workplace. God wants to demonstrate and unveil himself. Rob, let's start at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I think it's verse 7.
Yes.
Start reading there today, and then we'll take her from there.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, the prophet withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
There we begin to see something that this is the only gift that is plural.
Yeah.
The gifts of healing. Now, Brother Kaya and I talked last week about it being like most people would interpret it, that people would be used in the area of praying for cancers or
yeah,
praying
different
for
different kinds of diseases.
Yeah.
Specialists. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I've heard that.
That God uses them.
Yeah.
Do you have a different perspective?
You know, I'm not sure because I've heard that. I've thought that, you know, there's mm-hmm. different various diseases, and I've seen some people seem to have an anointing to to pray for backs or, you know, cancers and different things. So, but I'm not really sure. I haven't thought about it. So I'm curious to find out what your perspective is, actually.
I think that within the realm of the gifts of healing are also the gifts, or I would connect it with, I'm going to say deliverance, and I say it very loosely because some people, you know, get, you know, deliverance minded and everything's got a devil
a
and,
demon,
you know, well, they're angry. They got a devil, an anger devil. No, they just need a good beating. So, so I perceive as I have studied and read this that Jesus would set people free and they would come back and they would find the man whole. I think it has to do with healing the destroyed systems of men's lives that take them into addictions. whether it's pornographies or drugs or so forth. And that doesn't mean that that when we pray for people that have pornography problems, they're going to get instantly delivered. Yeah. I believe that God can, as we have a willing and an open heart, absolutely.
Yeah.
And but I think that the gifts have to do with, many times, deliverance.
Yeah, that's a good perspective, because when I haven't never thought of that before, but when Jesus commissioned them, he always sent them out to heal the sick and cast out devils.
Yeah.
And we usually tend to separate the two. Some people are sick, some people have demons.
Yeah.
And there are those extreme cases.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, there were spirits behind many of the illnesses and sicknesses.
Good. That's a good point.
So then the gifts of healing would serve to heal the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. You know, the soul woundings, and is that deliverance from certain things?
Because Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to open up the eyes of the blind. So in the midst of these two miracles of healing, there is this
heart.
Heal the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
Then that has to do with the soul of man.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we do get affected by sickness and disease, attacked by the devil. We can get hurt by people and so forth. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus makes a very unique statement. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
Hath made thee whole. Others, he would say, thy faith hath healed thee.
Yeah.
So but this woman,
was,
it had to do with
more total.
And, you know, after 12 years, realize the if she had children. You know, she was unclean. She couldn't touch them because it would take a 24-hour period for them to be unclean. Her husband.
Yeah.
The food. The dishes. I mean, this woman had to be isolated in her home.
Couldn't go to the temple to worship.
Couldn't do any of that.
Yeah.
Her neighbors, you know how neighbors are.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, there she is, you know, unclean, unclean. So, you know, when sicknesses and disease attack our lives, they certainly attack our faith. The greater element that it is after is our faith, the faith of those that are in our family.
Yeah.
And then after that, it begins to wear on our soul.
Yeah.
It begins to cause us to be areas that we would question God, we would wonder. May sometimes out of a weakened soul or a truth that is under assault, we come up with erroneous doctrines. We try to answer questions that God is not even involved in. He says, look, I'm the God that heals thee. Well, God, why haven't you healed me? That's not an issue. You can't come up with that doctrine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, God heals sometimes and God doesn't heal sometimes. He heals who he wants to and he heals, which are all lies.
Yeah.
They're just lies. Because Jesus went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil.
Absolutely. So the woman with the issue of blood, she had spent a fortune on doctors, and so this affects her economically, spiritually, you know, I'm sure she was mentally and spiritually fatigued.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Relationally, everything about her.
Yeah. So this healing was.
Yeah, when Jesus says, your faith hath made you whole, to me that is whole as in you're healed, you're restored. David talked about his soul. Job talked about a wounded soul.
Yeah.
You know, his soul was so vexed that he wanted to take his own life.
Exactly.
And so then what we do is it says that he made her whole. In other words, Jesus says, because of your faith, I'm restoring everything to you.
That's good.
And so I know that the family restored, the relationship was restored, money was restored.
Yeah. Exactly.
And because God is a restorative God. And when she comes and touches Jesus, she says something. This is not from you. So what does she do? She catches the thief. She catches the thief and says, this is not God. And so in one sense, she has caught the thief. She has freed herself from his grip. So guess what? He pays back sevenfold.
That's good.
So I believe that that was taking place. Also, we talked about, Rob, about these gifts, each gift. As we are known, you'll know them by their fruits. When we have the fruits of the Spirit, we are confirmed that we are in relationship with Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
And when those gifts are not there, Jesus is just simply going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I knew you not.
Yeah.
That simply means that everything that we had in common has become so distorted that when I look at you, I cannot see any reflections of me. And so then the fruits of the Spirit reveal Christ in us. These right here reveal God through us. And because each one of these gifts reveals something unique about God. And the gifts of healing reveals to us that he is a healing God. But what about people that don't get it, people do this and do that? I don't know. What about the sinner that doesn't get saved? Do you have an answer there? No, you don't. You know, how about the people that prayed legitimately for anything, and God says that come boldly to the throne of grace, you shall obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. But then they don't see it. Well, we don't know everything, but God knows everything. And I'll tell you what, God is just and God is faithful. So I never point the finger at God and say God didn't. I never try to redefine God. I just simply pursue him and his unchangeable attributes. That's what these establish, the unchangeable attributes of God.
Absolutely. You know, Hebrews 13 and 11, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
13. So he's unchangeable.
That's right. And so, and when God brings Israel out, one of the first things he does is says, look, I'm the God that's going to take sickness out of the midst of thee. I will not put any of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you have encountered and become aware of and become very familiar with, I will not put any of them on you.
It's counterintuitive for Jesus to go about healing all who are sick and oppressed of the devil. And then this, for some to say that, you know, this was from God or God, you know, for his glory has given me cancer or, you know, I've heard all those things. And I just can't see Jesus who went around healing and doing good. You know, I don't think putting cancer on anyone is good or any disease.
And every kingdom and divided against itself is going to fall.
Cannot stand. So why would Jesus heal the very thing he's going to later put on somebody?
Absolutely.
Doesn't make sense.
How could we advertise in the world, you know, come to our church and God will give you cancer. And you'll be happy.
All for his glory.
How
does God get glory out of
that? If you want God to use you, come to our church and, you know, we'll believe God will smite you blind. You know, that's not what we do. We preach and present to the world a God of the impossible. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Absolutely not. All things are possible to them that believe. Believe what? That it's possible with God. And so we cannot separate these attributes from God. We have to allow them to speak for their self.
You said something very interesting about, you know, why isn't a sinner saved? Well, you know, atonement, you know, salvation for the world has been has been made for everybody, just as healing has been provided for everybody. But it takes faith to receive.
And the Bible says that the salvation of God hath appeared unto every man. And every time they look at the cross, that cross has a voice in it.
Absolutely.
Just like any picture does. It says, you know what? You're a sinner, but God sent me to save you.
Absolutely.
Whosoever will, come unto me.
Come unto me.
And that is the mediator that is proclaiming that.
Well, you know, Pastor, I think a lot of people don't associate healing in the atonement.
You
know,
I agree.
You know, by his stripes, you know, we are healed. And we were healed. And I just think some people separate it as a separate thing that God might do or could do but doesn't always do when it's they don't see it as provided for us in the in the atonement.
But if we look, you know, when we look at Deuteronomy 28 and it lists all the curses, sickness and disease is infused in that
it's
curse.
Part of the curse.
It's not in the blessing.
No.
So when Jesus comes to free us from the sin that gives birth to the curse, when he deals with sin, Isaiah 53, and when he deals with that sin, he bears our iniquities, our transgressions. What does he take with him? He takes with him the sickness and the disease that came because of the sin and the transgression.
He became the curse for us.
Galatians 3, 15, 16. Absolutely true.
I always see that as in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the cursings, and you know, your curse if you don't keep the commandments.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus came and kept the commandments perfectly, and all the blessings of God was upon him.
Yeah.
And so, but he goes to the cross and takes all the curses that were upon us
yeah.
with him, so that all the blessings now come upon us.
You're right.
From the covenant.
I know some of you people might not be sci-fi people, but in the sci-fi world, there is this virus that is loose. That I am amazed. I told Phil that I was watching something, and all of a sudden this Night of the Living Dead or whatever. They're advertising like zombies are like
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
And we were talking, but a virus starts. And what do the people do with the virus? They go behind
yeah.
closed doors.
Yeah.
So when we come into Christ, we are separated
yeah.
from that world out there,
yeah.
and we are now in him.
Yeah.
And in him, there is safety.
Absolutely.
In him, there is health. In him, there is provision, the Lamb.
Yeah.
In him, there is protection. And in him, there is strength. There is deliverance. But it's when we come into him,
yeah.
then guess what? Everything that's not of him is out
outside,
here.
Yeah.
And remember, we're new creatures, and all things are of God.
Yeah.
So we know that God doesn't smite the righteous
yeah.
with sickness and disease.
Absolutely.
As some would say, well, you know, God's trying to get you to do something. Well, the Bible says the Holy Ghost
yeah.
leads us.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost teaches us.
Exactly.
And so it's not sickness and the disease that
yeah.
do that.
Yeah. Well, exactly like what you're saying. And in Christ, the wages of sin and death are the curse is done away with. So,
right.
And it's so, that's why a lot of people, I don't think, put sin and healing together. But the wages of sin is death.
Yes,
and sickness
absolutely.
Leads to death.
Right.
So therefore, in Christ, all that is taken away. And
absolutely.
Ultimately, death will be destroyed. So.
Yes, absolutely.
And
when it talks about death, it's the process.
Yeah.
The whole process
yeah.
of death,
exactly.
of age, of you know being limited, of doing this or doing that. So when that
yeah.
is destroyed, it is the process of death.
Absolutely.
And once the process is broken, the,
yeah.
fruit is non-existent.
Exactly.
And because some people say, well, you know, when Jesus comes, nobody's going to die anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's really not true because he is going to fight the devil and those that
yeah.
don't believe after a thousand-year
yeah.
reign, and
yeah.
they're going to fry.
Yeah, they'll,
he's going to consume with the word or with the power of his tongue.
Yeah.
So they are going to die.
Yeah. The last enemy is
right,
death.
Is death.
Yeah.
And so that process will be broken. But when we look at this, Rob, we begin to see that God is an absolute healer. If you question anything, question your questions. But never question God.
That's good.
You know, I wake up some mornings, and I'll be honest with you, I just don't feel saved. I can work it up, but I don't feel saved. And I go about my life as if I am.
Yeah.
I act like I am, I
yeah.
talk like I am, and I'm not moved by feelings.
Exactly.
Because I know that God has not cast me away.
Yeah.
And I know the devil can't pluck me out of his hands. I can jump out, I can walk out, but God's not going to separate himself yeah. from me. The Bible says in 1 John, I think it's verse 5, 6, and 7, that if we end up being separated from God, and we say, oh, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
I didn't sin. I didn't do any wrong.
Yeah.
The Bible says that man's a liar.
Yeah.
Because God never
yeah.
separates himself from a believer.
That's right. Well, when we're unfaithful, he's still faithful.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we are talking about the gifts of healing. And as this, what we do is we establish this is a power gift, a gift that does something.
Yeah.
Like the gift of faith and the working of miracles, now the gifts of healing. Each gift reveals something about God, and so we want to keep that in our heart. And then we want just to establish that when these gifts go into operation, that it is God. Rob, can you read Deuteronomy 7:15? God is giving this to Moses, but it's kind of reflective about what God gives to the Gentile church when Peter preaches to Cornelius.
Yeah.
He could have preached a thousand things, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He had a lot to argue about, so he could have argued with God and said, no, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
But God inspires Peter to preach that Jesus went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed. Why is that so important?
Yeah.
Because when God brings them out of Egypt with their mind still being, you know, well, people get sick and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, which they still do, and we're not condemning anybody. I don't condemn anybody to under a doctor's care or anything else. Listen, yeah. I thank God. I believe in living as long as you possibly can. And we're not going to try to say, well, you just have to live by faith. Don't ever take medicine. Don't do this. No, look, people are, you know, in different stages with God.
Yeah.
Never condemn people for what they're doing to live. Oh, well, you know, but I've got. Well, if you've got faith, then have it strong enough to get them delivered or get them healed.
Yeah.
But until you have that kind of faith, how about just not chirping on the limb? Like you're the only little bird in the woods, because you aren't. And the other thing is that if you have faith, great faith, then have it to yourself. But you can't condemn other people by what they're going through.
Yeah.
Because you aren't going through there yet. And so we want to realize that Peter was teaching the Gentile church something unchangeable.
Yeah.
And then God, when he brings them out in Deuteronomy 7:15, he's teaching them about himself.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and read that, Rob.
And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee.
There we begin to see that God makes a covenant.
Yeah.
Now, we would say, but that's with Israel. But the new birth entails all the covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the David covenant, the Noahic covenant.
Yeah.
All of those covenants are brought together in the new birth.
Yeah.
And that's in the Ephesians 2:12, 13, 14, and 15. So we really are the recipients of this covenant right here. We are the recipient of the covenant of healing.
Amen.
And my Father has told me he is never going to put any of these sicknesses and diseases up on us.
Yeah.
And here is, let's stop right there let's answer these two questions we have before we wrap it up today. And it says this: if you sinned in the past, then you got saved. Could that sin in the past cause you death or sickness now, even though you are saved now?
It's a good question.
It's an absolutely good question.
Yeah.
The Bible does say this in 1 John 1:9, and this, again, every promise is embraced by faith.
Yeah.
And sometimes people think, well, you know, I once knew God and now, you know, I backslid and I'm not where I used to be, which is totally false. Because once the prodigal son comes home, he doesn't go into the servant's quarter and work his way up. He sits down at the table and puts on his robe of identification, his ring of authority, and the sandals that will lead him into a blessed life. Now, when a sinner sins in the past, then he repents, and how about the sin that he went back into after he was born again? Well, if you continue in that, yes, certainly, it's going to bring a curse upon you. But if you repent, 1 John 1:9 says, if we repent, confess our sins, that God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all
unrighteousness
or all the fruits of unrighteousness.
Absolutely.
So sickness and disease is a fruit of unrighteousness. But one of the things that is probably happening here, right here, just for the simple fact that you think that the devil still has an advantage on you, even though you've allowed the blood to wash your sins away, what you have is a wounded conscience, a condemned conscience. You have a sin consciousness.
Yeah.
You're trying to do some type of a penance,
as it
were, through sickness and disease. You don't want it to happen, but in your mind you're saying, but this is happening because I've did this or because I've done that.
Yeah.
Now, it is true that you do reap what you've sown, but you have also had, as it were, your fields cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, his child dies.
Yeah.
But David rises up, goes back, washes himself, steps back into the new identity, and God says, wow, he's a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
Goes back into his wife, and remember that every womb would not be closed.
Yeah.
So David goes back in, knows his wife, Bathsheba, and she has another son, maybe greater than the former, because he becomes Solomon the wise. And he spoke about all through the word of God, and Jesus uses him. So, you know, and Jesus says, look, that son of Solomon, the least in the kingdom, is greater than he is.
Yeah.
So I think what you're probably dealing with is that you feel like that this is some part of the cost that you have to pay for the wrong that you've done.
Yeah.
No, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And we have a way in the body of Christ of penalizing or causing ourselves to go through stuff, because what we want to do is to say, well, you know, I went through that, praise God, you know.
Exactly.
What it does, it really has to do with your conscience.
Yeah.
And everybody needs something to spark or to cleanse their conscience.
Yeah,
from.
Absolutely.
Like when we get born again.
Yeah.
The Bible says, you know, go and be baptized.
Yeah.
So what I would do is this. Now, I'm telling you what I would do. I'm not telling you have to do. If I was struggling with this, what I would do is I would go right back to the power of obedience and water baptism.
Yeah.
Now, water baptism is not going to do with your sin, but what it does is gives you a clear conscience before God.
Re-identifies you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Re-identification, much like David did.
Yeah.
And so what you do, you just go tell your pastor. He might say, oh, well, you don't have to. Well, you might not have to, but you can. And if you need to do the former things again, the Bible says in Revelation, Jesus said, look, you know what? You're lukewarm and all that kind of, you need to go back and do your first works again.
Absolutely.
And so go back, do it again. Well, people will, who cares? You are not living your life for people. Come on, they're all on their way to death.
Yeah.
You're living for an eternal God, amen?
Right.
And I know some of you are wishing they hurry up and get there, but now what you want to do is pray for them.
Can I read this passage for that question? Something that they should read.
Yeah.
Just read this in Romans, the end of Romans 7 and the beginning of Romans 8. Paul asks this question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he says this, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And here's the key verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yes. And
so that law is broken.
That's right.
Yeah.
That law is broken. And one of the laws in Christ Jesus is water baptism for the cleansing.
Absolutely.
And so what you can do is you can do that, and it will break that law of sin and death, that condemnation over you.
Amen.
And, you know, we are like that.
Yeah.
And the Bible says to cleanse our conscience from an evil conscience, cleanse ourselves from an evil conscience, a conscience that is locked to something that has happened or done. And then it says that then you can have boldness of faith. And what you're struggling with is boldness of faith.
You had mentioned one time, Pastor, about a confident repentance.
A confident repentance.
Yeah.
Yes, and that means that we have to do what we feel is right, that we have done what God has asked to do.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon. The people that got baptized by John, they said, what must we do? He said, if you got two coats, go give one away.
Yeah.
If you're working, give a day's work.
Yeah.
You know, and do these things. Don't extract more. In other words, he told them certain things to do that would make them realize, wow,
yeah.
You know what? I am different.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's important that we do that. So please do that. Maybe if you want to really, you know, throw a blow into there, is I sometimes have, you know, missed the mark, you know, offended somebody that I didn't mean to offend and all that kind of stuff. But what I would do is, instead of just repenting, I would maybe set a 3-day fast.
Yeah.
Say, God, I just set this fast to show my gratitude for the power of the blood of Christ.
Wow.
That God, every band of wickedness has been broke over me. That God, the heavy burdens are gone. So let the oppressed go free. Those things help us say, we've done something. It appeases our conscience. Not that they're necessary in that area, but it appeases the conscience.
Yeah.
What was David doing? David was fasting, saying, God, you know, don't visit my sin upon my life. But he was doing it. So I just encourage you to do something like that, that you feel like this is what God wants me to do.
Yeah, that's good.
And get it done and move on.
That'll move them from a sin consciousness to a Christ consciousness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So what are they going to do after you have fulfilled what you would call penance or whatever? Here is another one. Is there ever a time that you wouldn't pray for healing for an individual? If someone seems to be close to death, would you still pray for healing? This is where we have to discern.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when we go see people and we're talking to them and they're getting, you know, older, they've been fighting a disease or something, listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because behind that is the true element of what they're believing.
Yeah.
So when we go in, and, you know, when people are talking about heaven and saying, you know, Pastor, we've got everything set up, you know, and she's going to be okay and, you know, all that kind of, then I'm not trying to get them to get healed.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is start talking about heaven.
Heaven, absolutely.
I'm going to start talking about, is there anything special you want me to do in the service that we have? You know, I'm going to be celebrating you. We're going to be challenging the people to, you know, get their heart right with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, we then switch from, you know, a mode of rescuing them to a mode of assuring them.
Yeah.
And sometimes with older people, I will, I'll start singing.
Yeah.
Oh, Beulah Land. And no, I'm not going to sing it for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, they're already sick waiting to go to heaven. So they just say this is a part of the pressure and the persecution, God. So, but I will sing things about heaven.
Yeah.
And I'll say, oh, man, you know, when you get to heaven, man, think about the river of life.
Yeah.
Oh, my, what are you going to do? I'd say, don't go swimming in that river because the oyster where that first gate of pearl came out of is still in there. He'll eat you. And look, you make light of it. Look, you talk about the goodness of God. You know, I've had people ask me, Pastor, will you please make sure that my kids accept Christ and get baptized?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll, you know, I will minister to him any time that I possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor, watch over my kids. You know, so when these things come, I would never try to pray them out of death. The other thing is sometimes I'm going to tread on real thin ice here. Sometimes when people get sick, they get saved on their deathbed.
Yeah.
If We pray for them. What would they do if they rose up?
Exactly.
They might go back.
Yeah.
I had a sister.
I've seen it too.
Yeah, I had a sister that was, was a lesbian. And she got cancer. And my brother was preaching to her, and she finally just said, you know what, shut up, don't ever talk to me again. And so he didn't. He just shut up on the porch and never done anything. But then she went to the hospital.
Yeah.
She's on her deathbed, and, my sisters and stuff call him up and say, hey, will you come up and talk to Doreen? So my brother Charlie goes up, and he talks to her, and what he does is he just finishes the message. She told him, shut up on the porch. And he says, are you ready to get saved? And guess what? She gets saved. Yeah. Now, my mother has always confessed not one of her kids will go to hell.
Amen.
So we believe no matter how they get saved or when they get saved, my mother made a declaration in the covenant, and ain't none of those kids going to hell. And but he prayed for her, and then they said, well, are you going to pray for her that she gets healed? And he said, no. He said, I'm not.
Yeah.
He said, because I know that if she gets healed, she will go back to sin.
Yeah.
Now, we might say, oh, that was just horrible. Or it could have been wisdom.
Yeah.
Could have been a word of wisdom. God knowing could have put that in his heart.
Yeah.
So there was no sense in doing that. He prayed and visited her, and she died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
And that's where we will see her again.
That's right.
But if he'd have prayed for her to get healed, she might not have stayed saved.
That's right.
And you've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
You know, everybody wants God, when they're going through a divorce.
Yeah.
when they lost their job, their house is getting repossessed, they ain't got no food, their car broke down, and or they've just got a terminal disease and they're going to die. Everybody wants God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm having a little card made today. Yeah. They're working on it.
Yeah.
Instant God. Hmm. In other words, you live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, never read the Bible, never pray, never do anything. But then when you need God, you can reach into your pocket and pull out the card.
Yeah.
Instant God. Run it through the prayer channel, and God will spit out your reward. God is not an ATMT.
I think of those as the soil that they receive the word with joy, because it meets their need.
Yes.
But then the cares of the world choke it out.
Absolutely.
And they don't endure.
No, no. So we understand that, there are people that we pray for, but listen to them. God will give you the discernment whether they're ready or not. You know, Lincoln, I take Lincoln on some of my visitations just for a simple fact. He needs to know how to deal with people in homes and things like that. And I've been taking him since he's been 4, so that's been like 11 years.
Wow.
But the last one we visited was just a great guy. His name was Jeff Schneider, and Jeff had cancer.
Yeah.
And they were believing God. And then as it gets to the end, you could hear their voice change, which is nothing is wrong with that.
No.
But when I come out, I pray, God, we thank you for Jeff. We thank you for the family. We ask you, God, to strengthen them, to visit them, God, and just surround them by your comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:4-8. And God, just let them know that you're near. And amen. We get out in the car, Lincoln says, well, why didn't you pray for him to get healed? I said, what did you hear in there?
Yeah.
He said, well, he was sick. I said, what did you hear?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I heard you praying. I said, no. What you heard was Jeff speaking of an echo where his heart is. His heart is set on, I will be with the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. And so I said, why would you want to force your belief or your faith on him?
Yeah, exactly.
When you're there someday, you get to use your faith.
Yeah.
If you ever get there. Of course, I don't think he's ever going to get there. But,
yeah,
you know, that is going to be a thing he's going to have to deal with in exactly. in the lives of other people as being a pastor. So, no, I wouldn't always pray for people to get up. I never ask people to live my faith. My faith is my faith. And if it's successful in one area, I'll have it to myself. Now, I will use it for other people, even to be blessed.
Yeah.
I'll make decrees over their life. God, I thank you that God, you've provided, you've made a way that God increases upon their life. Sometimes I sow a seed
exactly.
for other people to be blessed.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this, you know, this is a personal. I always tell people, you know, faith starts out, okay, sickness starts out with the battle of, hey, let's everybody lift so-and-so up. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, then it comes down to the family unit. But in the end,
yeah.
it's just you and God.
That's it, yeah.
Just you and God.
Yeah.
So that's my viewpoint of it. So,
that's good.
Hey, next week, or this week, Thursday, we're going to be continuing this. We'll get into the scripture. We're just talking about a lot of different things that have to do with healing and things, and we need to know these things.
Yeah, these are questions people want to hear
absolutely.
And ask.
And they need to know, you know, basic things that function like that.
Absolutely.
And last week, Kylan brought out the statement that God, you know, uses us in the gifts, and, you know, healing is just like a part of our life. It's just everyday life.
Yeah.
And so we talked about that, and that goes right in line with today. So join us Thursday again at 9 o'clock. And Rob, can you go ahead and pray for the viewers today?
Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of healing. We thank you that you've set it in the church for today because you love your body. You love the church. And Lord, I pray for the continuation in all of our lives to see that everyday healing take place. And Lord, even those right now that are listening that need healing, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus. Stop. Lord, we pray right now for healing in Jesus' name. We thank you for releasing the gift of healing in others who want to function in healing, who want to learn about the gift, and who are ready to begin to operate in the gift of healing. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Release that gift, Holy Spirit, and loose your church. Heal your church wholly in Jesus' name. We give you praise, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Somebody has hurt the side of your heel on your, it's on your left foot, but that's going, don't worry about it. In just 2 days, it's just going to disappear.
Amen.
The other there is like a, I don't know if it's a boil or a growth up under your armpit. God is healing that right now.
Amen.
And all of that pain, that sensitive area is going to disappear. And so, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Rob, you get any words of knowledge, just go ahead and loose those for the people. Hallelujah.
I see there is someone that has a migraine headache, and I sense it right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, just heal that headache right now. They've already taken medicine. They're wondering why it hasn't gone away. But right now, the prayer of faith, we just thank you, Lord, for healing that headache in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen. There's like a pea-sized growth right back here on somebody's head. It's almost like on a tendon that runs up the back of your head. And God's, that thing is going to be cursed in the name of Jesus. I curse it. I command it to go. Loose them in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
And also there is like an inflammation, maybe an infection, but it's settled in between your two fingers here, these two fingers here. And in fact, it's swollen up. It's a little raised up. That's going to be gone. You just go ahead and thank God for it, and it'll just disappear, and you'll be fine. Then there is a child that has a hernia. This child is very young. I see that the cord was still black, so it must be a newborn. And so I curse that hernia right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to die. I command it to close up in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we thank you for it. And God, that foot that's turning inside on that young child, I curse right now that foot. I command those muscles, those tendons, in the name of Jesus, for that foot to be normal in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you for it, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen. Thursday morning, and we will see you at 9 o'clock. God bless. We'll see you later.
Amen.